World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, we'll come out hot today, okay? I just warned you, we're going to come out hot here today on the, what is the day, 22nd day? Wow, that's January 22nd, 1963. Just realize that's the day my grandma had a heart attack and died. I just turned 10 years old. Grandma Teen, January 22nd, 1963. Miss you, Grandma Teen. Wish I could have known you a little bit better. Significant day, man. A lot to talk about. I've been steaming most of last night. it's all good steam, but I want to let some steam off today. Okay, now before I get too far here, let me acknowledge two things. I spoke to Pastor Bill Dunphy yesterday. He is out. He got out at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Believe it or not, Connie was already there to pick him up. I think Kyle was with him. I didn't really get that. I was on the phone, spoke with Bill Dunphy yesterday. It was joy in his voice. He was very, very upbeat. And he's going to join us, not today. He and his wife are in his family. They got an Airbnb in the Philadelphia area, which is where he was, because she didn't know how long it was going to be till he got out. And so she thought, well, we might be here a few days. So they got an Airbnb, and Bill Dunphy is out. Praise the name of the Lord. And he is going to join us maybe tomorrow, whatever. And it's going to be something, because we're going to hear the story of what really happened with Bill Dunphy. We're going to hear the story, not only with him, but with others. 1,500 of them, promises made, promises kept. It's a joyous day. It's a joyous day. So I want everyone to know that Bill Dunphy is out of jail. So is our buddy in Pennsylvania, Mountain Man, out of jail. They are out of jail. Praise the Lord. The wheels of justice. I'm going to talk about that this morning, the wheels of justice and what that means. Number two, God bless Ray LeBlanc and his crew who are down in Swannanoa. I've given Cowboy Dave a bit of time down there, a break down there. Ray's down there, I think, with three, maybe four of his others that are helping things get organized a little bit down there. As you know, Cowboy Dave's been down there for like forever, right? And Lord knows he needs a break, and he's back home, and Ray and his crew's down there. Ray, we thank you for that. And we thank you for George and Jeanette, who drove the camper down there, the camper that Steve Deck fixed up. It's down there now. They have it. That's all good. So praise God that we'll continue to move forward with everything that's going on. So I don't want to slight anybody for the efforts they're doing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want you to be thinking about this. Maybe some of you can ponder. I haven't really come to this conclusion, how we go about doing this. I think we need to, at some point, those of us here, by the way, Bill Dunphy, he'll get a chance to tell you. He went on and on and on and on about you guys. You guys. Not his local church. You guys. Now, you guys were his lifeblood. And that you sent letters and you sent cards and you sent books and you sent magazines. And that when he went into the jail, when he left the jail, he had to have a bag to take the cards and stuff that people would send him. And the people around him were not getting that kind of mail. And he was getting bombarded with mail. He's going to have the opportunity to come and thank all of you for doing that. But we got to know, folks, that makes a difference, man. It makes a difference. So, again, I just want to thank all of you. I was heading someplace and forgot where I was heading on it. But it does matter. It is important. And I know where I was going. I think this is my heart, okay? I think we ought to take up an offering for Pastor Bill. Now, I'm not going to do it today. But I think we ought to try to help make him. We will never make him financially well. It cost him probably $150,000 in legal fees. I hope he sues. But we could certainly ease it a bit with an offering to help him get back on his feet. We're not going to do that now. Don't send any money now. But I think I would like to be able to do that. All right. Cool. All right. I'm ready to pop. Anybody for the good of the group before I pop the clutch and run? Huh? Anything burning in you that you want to get out? Then we'll pop the clutch, going to run. And some of you may not like me when we're done. So I'll give you a chance right now. Anybody? Go ahead, Joe. Congratulations, Joe, on your new grandson. Go ahead.
Yep. New baby boy in the Allen's family.
Amen. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of him. Amen. Amen. Okay. I want to show you something. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I have been bombarded this morning with, Coach Dave, see, I told you, Trump did not put his hand on the Bible. He didn't take an oath on the Bible, Coach. Huh? I've been telling you. I'm telling you, this guy's a fraud. He didn't. Let me stop a minute. Let's go to. I'm looking on over here. Trump swearing in, number three. Get that ready to go, Johnny. Because I want you guys to realize something. I want you to watch something here. Hang on. We're going to show you here in a second. John Roberts started the oath before Trump's family was even in place. And you'll watch as the oath starts, his family is still walking up to get there with him. Now, I'm going to get into oaths here in a second, okay? But for those out there who's saying that he purposely did not put his hand on the Bible, he did before when he took the oath. Now, hang on. Melania's standing there with two Bibles, one of them a family Bible, and John Roberts is going to say, raise your right hand. So, did Donald Trump, why would you bring a Bible if you weren't going to swear on it? Why would you do that? I don't know. So let me show you this clip here real quick. By the way, somebody, before I get too far here, hey Johnny, take that lit marker there and put that thing on Joe Biden. Right there. Did he swear on a Bible? Yeah, he did. Did he follow it? Put that thing on Bill Clinton. Put it over. Next one over. That guy, he took an oath. Did he keep it? How about that that lady who slept her way to the top down there at the bottom? Her, she take an oath? Did she keep it? How about let's go over here to the other side. This lady, this Klobuchar, standing beside J.D. Vance right there. Did she take an oath? Has she followed it? See, the Bible says let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, right? What do you think about somebody takes an oath and don't follow it? What does that not bother you? You don't care about that? But you're mad that he didn't? Oh, my goodness. Well, let's watch this whole thing develop here. It's just a couple minutes long. And watch that John Roberts begins the oath before anybody is in place. Go ahead. Why would he carry the Bible with him? He's not going to swear on it. Look, they're waiting for all these people to get up there in line. JD's kissing his son.
And these are JD Vance's and Usha Vance's
young children.
Here comes
his wife. He's kissing his wife. She's not even a Christian. She's not even a Christian.
There.
And she's in the Bible.
In red.
And all their family. They're all in place. Okay, here we go, honey. Are you ready, honey? Everybody up here, we're going to do the oath.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me.
Hang on. The oath said, raise your right hand and repeat after me. Didn't say anything about putting your hand on a Bible. Look, I'm not defending them. I'm showing you how the enemy operates. Go ahead.
I, James David Vance, do solemnly swear.
I, James David Vance, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations,
stop!
Mr. Vice
President. Stop! There's the pledge. So help me God. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. You don't need to put your hand on a Bible to let your word be your word. In fact, is it okay with you that guys put their hand on the Bible and lied and didn't do what they said they were going to do? So help me God. How many of you out there got married? Huh? Any of you get married out there? For better, for worse, for richer and poorer, in sickness and health, forsaking all others, giving myself unto you for as long as we both shall live. So help me God. I don't know if you say so help me God or not. That was a vow. That was a pledge. Was it kept? See, it doesn't matter if you put your hand on the Bible. Is your word or not? What are they gonna grab President Trump and say, you took the oath? And he said, no, I didn't put my hand on the Bible. I didn't put my hand on the Bible. Tricked y'all. Come on. Come on. Now, President Trump's going to be sworn in. Let's see if he gets time for all of his family to get in place. By the way, right there where it says live, what the hell is Jeff Bezos doing there? What is he doing there? Mr. Amazon, what's he doing there? Okay, let's keep on going here. Freeze it. Go back. I got to show you this. Just go back 3 seconds. Keep going. Stop right there. How many liars do you see right there? How many liars do you see? Joe Biden keep his oath? Kamala keep her oath? Bill Clinton keep his oath?
Boom.
Go ahead.
And we have a new Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, sworn in by Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. What we should note is that the Second Lady Usha Vance actually clerked for Brett Kavanaugh when he was a judge at the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. Usha also clerked for Chief Justice John Roberts when he was at the Supreme Court. She is a noted lawyer herself.
I'm not defending him. I'm showing you the truth.
Slowly ushering their young children out the door, along with J.D. Vance's mother. As it is just 12:01,
the time
when the new president is supposed to be sworn in.
Okay, here comes the president. Here comes his wife with two Bibles in her hand.
After me.
Oh, wait, where's his family? Where's the president's family? Watch. Go ahead.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
His family's still coming. His family's still coming.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
There it is. There was the oath. There was the oath. When I tell you guys I'm going to do something, I don't put my hand on the Bible. My bond is my bond. My word is my bond. So help me God. I don't need to say, oh, sorry. Hey, Randy, I was going to help you, but I didn't put my hand on the Bible. And what does the Bible say? Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Now, hang on. It's all... We're just straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel, friends. Straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Does anybody watching this show, I don't know where your mind goes. Do you think it was his intention to not swear on the Bible? Do you really think that? Do you really think they said, we'll just fake it? We'll get away with it. Do you think that he's less likely to obey his oath because he didn't put his hand on the Bible? And by the way, How many other people, as I just said, around him have taken an oath and have violated? Okay, hang on. What am I looking about? Hey, wait a minute. How about all that? How about the oath all those judges took that threw Bill Dunphy and everybody in jail? What about the oath they took? What about the oath that the elected officials took to get Pastor Bill out of jail? How about the oath that says what? Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or a freedom of the speech? Huh? What about that oath? What about that oath? Are they keeping that oath? No, they're making laws, sworn oaths, judges, lawyers making oaths against the Constitution. And everybody's mad that Trump didn't. Hey, look, if he's going to fake you out, friends, he's going to come put his hand on that Bible. If his, Okay, so hang on. I'm going to get you all in here. Let me vent first. Pull up number one. What does the Bible say about an oath? As a Christian, is it wrong to swear upon the Bible in court? Well, there are two passages in Scripture that are relevant to this question. First, again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath. These are words of our Lord. Make no oath, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, or Washington, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes or no, because anything else is evil. Should Christians take an oath? James said, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, that your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Look, friends, how many times do we go to people and say, would you swear upon the Bible? Well, they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe God. They don't believe the Bible. Oh, hell yeah, I'll swear on the Bible. Yeah, I will. No, it doesn't matter. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Let your word be your word. Let your word be your word. So if you don't swear in the Bible when you're talking to me, does that mean I can't believe you? So every time I talk to Chad, or every time I talk to Jack, or any time I talk to Johnny, say, hey, wait, are you swearing on the Bible? Is what you're telling me is the truth? Well, we don't do that. Why? Because Chad's yay is yay and his nay is nay. That's the Christian position, friends. Now, let me back up a little. How many people in Washington, D.C. have taken an oath and aren't abiding by it? Bill Dunphy's liberties were violated. Do you understand that? Do you understand? The oath means nothing if you are not faithful to Christ. The oath is meaningless. You can say whatever the hell you want to say. In fact, I was looking for it this morning. I couldn't find it. But they say, the Bunsen brothers say none of them have taken an oath. Did you know that? Do you know that? There's no sworn affidavit on file for most of the people in Congress. They never swore an oath. They never did. It's trickery. It's all trickery. Now, hey, what do you do if you swore an oath, a Masonic oath? Can you swear a Masonic oath and an oath to Christ? I don't know. Because all you got to do is get in court. And you'll find some judge who probably swore an oath or maybe didn't put his hand on the Bible. And he'll find a reason why you're guilty or why you're not guilty. He'll just make it up. Okay, hang on. Number six. Number six, pull that out. I'm going to let you all in here. Number six. Is this number six? Should Christians take an oath in court? Should they? Scroll down, Johnny. I don't even know who this guy is. The ninth commandment says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You don't have to swear an oath. You don't have to swear an oath! Although the commandment is focused on the question of perjury, it's usually understood to encourage Christians to be honest. And we get in the mess that we're in because we put dishonest Christians into power. Are they really Christians? I don't know, but they sure ain't following no oath. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you've heard it said to the people long ago, do not break your oath. Scroll down, Johnny. But keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all. Not by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by earth, for it's his footstool, by Jerusalem. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply say, yes, I will do it. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. See, this is all formality. Formality. Do people go into court and put their hand on the Bible before they testify and lie? Do people go into court, put their hand on the Bible, swear to give the testimony of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, and then go up there and lie? Hell yeah.
Boom.
Every day. Because it's not about whether you put your hand on the Bible, it's whether you're honest or not. Now, the question is Donald Trump honest? We really don't know. We don't know. But we can't trust him because he didn't put his hand on the Bible. Really? Go to number nine. I'm flying through this. I'm going to get you in here. This bothered me for 2 days. This is Georgia. Each state's different. By the way, here's what's really good. All these violations that they're done, and Joe Biden pardoned them all. Well, let's get them in state courts. I'm hypothetical. I lost my job because I wouldn't wear a mask. Well, did my state defend me? State didn't defend me. Governor didn't defend me. The attorney general didn't defend me. Well, let's go after them. I have states' rights too, folks. Who's considered a public official? Scroll down there a second. Here's their oath. Okay, I'm not going to read the oath. We know what the oath is. So help me God. So which God? Which God? So help me God, because you make yourself a God, don't you? In order to convict an officer violating his oath of office, state must prove that the defendant was actually administered an oath. Oaths can be violated even while the officer is off duty. The issue is not whether the officer was on duty at the time the prohibited action occurred, but whether there was some connection between the offense and his official duties. When I swear an oath before God to be honest all the time, boys and girls, all the time, it's not okay for me to lie to my wife, and it's not okay for me to lie when I'm on the witness stand. And it's not okay for me to lie to my kids, and it's not okay for me. You with me? Are you with me? And we think that somehow putting his hand on the Bible, now he's going to become a truth teller. How stupid are we? Go on down. Sufficient evidence to support a conviction of the accused who has served as a police officer. The officer was accused of abusing his authority. Has Merrick Garland abused his authority in an effort to coerce sexual favors from women who were subject to arrest? By the way, I'm going to show you here in a second. Stuart Rhodes. When we get Bill Dunphy on here, you're going to find out that the government forced him to violate his oath. They forced him to. Fear of punishment. I'm sorry I'm so hot today. I am so hot today that we can't see the smoke screen. Who do you think is promoting the fact that his hand wasn't on the Bible? Who do you think that was? We know who it was, right? We know who it was. Look, I'm not defending Trump. I don't know what he is. But quit straining at a gnat and swallowing the camel. People put their hand on the Bible all the time and then lie. Okay. Catching my breath here. Go to number two. Number two, what's punishment for breaking your oath? There's supposed to be punishment, folks. Has anybody in Washington, D.C. violated their oath? Did Bill Dunphy get a fair trial? Doesn't the Constitution authorize a fair trial for Bill Dunphy? Did he get one? Did the judges give him a fair trial? Did the elected officials give him a fair trial? Let me use that word again. Hell no. Didn't they violate their oath? Aren't they supposed to present exculpatory evidence? Is a judge allowed to threaten you to not give a defense? Are they allowed to do that? No. No. Well, did he take an oath? I think he did. What's an oath? Somebody's got their microphone open. Close it. So understand the oath of office. When someone takes an oath of office, they're not going through a ceremony. They're making a serious promise. The promise is like a bridge built on trust between the public and the person taking the oath. It's not just words. It's a binding agreement. Think of it like a handshake deal, but one that's much stronger and witnessed by the law. See, the problem is we don't have a problem with lying anymore, do we? We don't care if somebody lies to us. They lie to you with a straight face. They shake your hand and lie to you. Oh, my car runs perfectly, Jeff Klein. I'm not making fun of Jeff, okay? Car deal. Oh, it's run. We fixed everything. And then it doesn't work. What was your yay, yay, and your nay's nay? Say, well, you didn't sign the proper paper. Yeah, but that, dude, you told me it would work. You lied to me. Well, take me to court. Take me to court, right? Your yay be yay and your nay be nay. And I would say this, for me, if someone was done wrong by me, I'm going to make it right, whether I was guilty or not. And then you know what happens when you do that? Peace. People still gripe and moan and complain. Say, oh, he's a crook. Oh, he paid me, but I want a crook. Huh? Come on. It's okay out there. We're big boys and girls here. A sworn oath is the heart of public service. Legally binding. There's felony charges, boys and girls. See, our problem today is not, did Donald Trump take an oath? What about those who did and are violating them? That's where our concern ought to be. Distract, 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 distract.
Amen.
I'm all over today, whether you like it or
Boom.
Not.
Boom. Huh?
It's distractions. It's all, you can take that. You put that in the chat. It's all good. It's all good in the chat. Okay, I'm going to show you one more thing, and then I'm going to open it up. Go to number 8. I got this from Craig this morning. And this is good. This is outside the jail. And I want you to watch. Go to the 18-minute mark. Folks, this bless my heart. By the way, God bless her. What's her name? Go back, Johnny. Go back, her. Yeah, her. She's out there fighting for those guys. She took an oath and she's obeying. She's following her oath.
Bobart.
Lauren Bobart.
Where are the other guys? Huh? Where are our senators out there? Where are they? Where's Jim Jordan? Bobert shows up. But I want you to see something profound. At the 18-minute mark, look who shows up. Go ahead and play.
Challenges to the elected states. I think that's unfortunate. But it's understandable because we knew the election was being stolen. It's understandable people were upset. And most people that went inside, they walked through doors already opened by somebody else. They were not told they were trespassing. They just, in fact, some cops waved them in. And so you had it. Basically, it's entrapment.
Ivan's like behind him there.
Co-defendant Jessica Watkins described it as a lobster trap. Easy to get into. Once you're in, you're screwed. You know.
And sorry, we came in here a little late. Yeah. There was a big group around you. But can you give us the play-by-play about when you were notified that you were going to be released?
Yesterday we got locked down because someone got stabbed in our facility. Nothing to do with me. But we got locked down. So we're listening on the radio. And we heard President Trump say that he's going to be taking action for the J6 hostages. That's what I do for sure, but I always knew he was going to do it. Yeah. I had no doubt. I had full faith in him.
So, what do you want to say to Trump?
Hang on. Stuart Rhodes had full faith in Donald Trump, whether he put his hand on the Bible or not. Don't you get it? Don't you? Either your word is your word or it is not. Stuart Rhodes said we had full faith in him that he would do it. Hey, Stuart, somebody better tell Stuart that Trump didn't put his hand on the Bible. Hey, Ivan, tell him that. Ivan, tell Stuart Rhodes that it's all null and void because Trump didn't put his hand on the Bible. Go ahead.
What emotions did you feel when the pardon came down?
Just, of course, relief. You know, I guess I knew it was coming. Joy. you know, gratefulness.
How long have you been in?
Okay, guys, it's about 5:30.
How long have you been in?
Two and a half hours after they were supposed to.
He's a free man. Okay. I got more. Let me take a deep breath. Hey, friends. Do you have to put your hand on the Bible? You, I'm talking about, to tell the truth? Do you deal with people? Do you go around and deal with people and you're making a deal and you say, hey, wait, before I sign here, put your hand on the Bible and swear that you're going to. No, you just expect people to be honest, right? Does anybody think Joe Biden put his hand on the Bible and kept it? Anybody think he did? Anybody think Barack Hussein Obama put his hand on the Bible and kept it? Anybody think, what's his name? Bill Clinton put his hand on the Bible and kept it? What? Folks, do you have to put your hand on a Bible for your yay to be yay and your nay to be nay? So help me God. Is that a vow or not? Is that a vow or not? Is the vow invalid because my hand wasn't on the Bible and I said, or how about this one? Here's what he should have done. Trump should have had his fingers crossed. You remember that? Huh? You were allowed to lie if you had your fingers crossed behind your back. See, the problem is the heart of man. Men are honest, and we don't expect them to be honest. And there is no punishment when they're not. That's the bottom line. Johnny, you're up. Come on in.
Thank you, Coach. So I'm just thinking, doesn't it say in a Bible somewhere, your walk is your greatest witness?
Amen.
Have we forgotten Trump's first term? Did we completely forget all the things that he did, tried to do for us, putting up walls while the opposite was trying to tear down the walls?
Hey, John, what, huh? Hey, defend
the borders. How about, you know, we just maybe need to stop being so petty. I mean, I can understand a little bit about that, but, I mean, let's not forget what's going on here. I mean, the guy got shot at twice.
Hey, Johnny, I mean, John, here's a better one, Johnny. Did Biden keep his oath? Look at all the people he pardoned. Did he keep his oath? Anybody upset that he didn't keep his oath? He ought to be the first guy on the witness dock. He ought to be the first guy. Go ahead.
So I'm just saying, I think it also says how quick we should be to analyze ourselves that we not point out the speck in somebody's eye when we have a log in our own. I'm just saying, hey, I'm a sinner, and I make false judgments sometimes. So I need to evaluate myself before I start calling out other things outside of myself. Amen?
Amen, Johnny. So my best buddy in the whole world, my best buddy in the whole world, Coach Norm, tell you this. When I talk to Coach Norm, I don't ask if his hand's on the Bible. Why? Because you're going to tell me the truth. I know he is. He loves me. You tell the truth to people you love. I don't need an oath. I took an oath to be faithful. I put my hand on the Bible when I married my wife to be faithful. I can't go later and say, honey, I didn't really mean it. I had my fingers crossed behind my back. Come on, man. What is with us? Who's up here? Who is up here? Joe Allen, then Randy.
Took the oath 4 times. No Bible. I took the oath for marriage from my wife. You know how millions of military people out there are raising their right hand to take an oath. But I guarantee you that oath is on paperwork when he signed his John Hancock down, the oath of office. Enough said,
Joseph. I know this. My wife and I took an oath to be faithful, for better, for worse, for richer and poor, in sickness and health, forsaking all others, as long as we both shall live. And we've kept it. And the oath didn't have anything to do with my hand being on the Bible. My word was my bond. Randy, come on in.
Okay, Coach. So now here's the comparison. So why do I need the law to keep the law? Why do I need it? It ain't for me, Coach. The Bible isn't for those who are honest. It's for those who are dishonest.
Well said.
Law is for those who won't keep it. It is a way. It's a means for them to have to promise on something else beside their self.
That's right. That's it. They're not men and women of their word. You can't trust them. So they say, okay, well, I'll make an oath here to God, even though I don't believe.
So you had a Christian judge that says, you know, I know you're not a Christian. You have nothing that will bind you. Here's a Bible that I believe has all authority. And if you'll lie against it, you're going to lie against God. That was a way to try to get the criminals, the corrupt people to tell the truth. So that's what it was for, I think, Coach.
So Randy, when they say, so help me God, there needs to be an asterisk there. Which God? Which God?
I agree.
There was a time when it was the Christian God. We were one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And everybody was swearing by the same God. Now we're in multiculturalism, and Donald Trump could have sworn on a Bible to his God, and it could have been the Masons. We don't know. We don't know who God he's talking to. The fact that he's putting his hand on the Bible doesn't mean he's swearing to the Christian God. Come on!
So if it isn't Christ, does that eliminate everyone, right?
That's right.
Even the Jews, Coach, they believe in Judaism, but they don't, you know. So they're in the same boat with everybody else. They're not special either, okay?
Yep. Amen. How many oaths, I wonder, has Donald Trump taken in his life? How many oaths have you taken in your life? Have you kept them all? To help you, God? Did you have to put your hand on the Bible? Dale.
Yeah, amen, Coach. You started off with saying, why would he bring a Bible if he wasn't going to do it? Do you remember there was two Bibles?
Yes.
And one of them was Abraham Lincoln's Bible. Do you think that he'd have just brought there to not want to lay his hand on? I personally, and I was talking with somebody, I said, I wish he would have had Clarence Thomas do the swearing in, right? Yeah. And the person goes, well, no, because it's always been the Supreme. I said, exactly, you're answering my question. It's symbolic. There's nothing constitutionally required that their hand had to be on a Bible. It was started with George Washington. He stopped the whole ceremony because he wanted his Bible to be sworn in on, but it was never part of the Constitution. Same thing is why he didn't have to have that poached egg John Roberts, who's blown it twice, to do that. He could have had on that day, Martin Luther King Day, after that incredible prayer, he could have had Clarence Thomas swearing in it. Yeah, oh, and
as
remember,
long as he didn't have Kajani, as long as he didn't have Kajani whatsoever Brown, as long as she wasn't doing it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, she wouldn't know what a Bible is anyway. But Coach, remember now, Bill Clinton, come on, I didn't have sex with that woman, right? After he swore on a Bible to Congress.
Yep. No consequences for lying to the American people. None. Folks, I'm telling you, it ain't the oath. It's the man. Do you trust a man or do you not trust a man? Because we know that the oath ain't going to make anybody do anything. We got crooked cops. We got crooked bankers. We got all kinds of crooked people everywhere who've sworn a public oath, to be honest, and ain't nothing happens to them. At least not in government. Betty.
Well, like I said, I've used to tell my son, trust takes a lifetime to build up, but a split second to lose.
That's right.
So I would rather you tell me the truth and be hurt once than you to lie to me, and then I lose that trust, be hurt, and then find out about the truth and be hurt again.
Amen.
So
Amen.
You know what? I find people sometimes they lie to me and they think I don't know. I know, but my respect and trust for them is gone. It'll take a long time.
I make a note of that. And that's why you've got to all be careful with gossip, because you're repeating somebody else's lie. By the way, check out for me real quick there, Johnny. Look up the Hippocratic Oath. The Hippocratic Oath. Are we holding our doctors to the Hippocratic Oath? Or wait a minute, Dr. Paul, they don't even have to take it anymore, do they, Paul? Do they have to take the Hippocratic Oath anymore?
I think they changed it, Coach. They changed the oath. There's no condemnation about abortion anymore.
No more. So they changed the Hippocratic Oath. Ain't nobody griping and moaning about that. When you go to your doctor, do you ask your doctor, did you take a Hippocratic Oath? Did you put your hand on the Bible? Swear that you're gonna, huh? Then why are you giving me these poison drugs then? Why are you doing that? See, nobody keeps their word anymore, and we're okay with it. They're okay with it. And you know what it is? You guys know it. Because you say about some of your friends, I don't know if I can trust what he says. Amen? Come on. Come on.
Boom.
Because the person doesn't care if they lie. They don't care if they lie because they're advancing an agenda. Maybe self-preservation. Who knows what it is. But when you are advancing an agenda, you protect yourself. You're right, Randy. Perjury used to be a crime. I did not have sex with that woman. Those are called high crimes. A high crime is a person of great trust violating an oath. It's a high crime, folks. Jack.
Yeah, it's customary, not mandatory. And I'm a whole lot more concerned about someone who's afraid to touch the Bible and puts something between themselves and the Bible so they don't have to touch that evil document. Okay, that's what Kamala Harris did. She put her little purse on the Bible. Yeah. So she didn't have to actually touch it.
Amen. I'm telling you, man. Hey, can I tell you something? No, Jack? It don't matter. The oath doesn't matter. Those guys don't follow their oath. We don't care. No consequences. Gino.
I just want you all to check me on what I'm saying, but I really believe the original reason why a court people have to stand up in front of a judge when he walks in the court is because he was carrying a Bible originally. And people stood up because he was carrying a Bible. But now they don't carry a Bible. We still have to stand up.
That would be an interesting thing to say. Hear ye, all rise. Why? Judges come. Oh, so we rise because this lying cheat is coming in here. Are you kidding me? But Gene says the guy used to carry a Bible, man. So you rose because the word of God was coming in the room. Oh, Gino, that'd be an interesting one to check on, right? Huh? See, folks, when they destroyed, when they said there was a separation between the church and state, then that meant there was a separation between morality and state. Huh? Do as you please, huh? Who cares, man? Swore an oath, huh? Swore an oath to, I swore an oath to God. Which God? On me? I'm the God, I swore it to me. I didn't violate my oath. You thought I was swearing the oath to Jesus Christ. No, 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 no. I swear that oath to me, the God of me. So help me, me. In fact, you remember that in the movie, Oh God, when that was George Burns, and he took the oath on office. Ah, boy, Spencer, Johnny, if you could find that, you'd be something. When he took the oath, George Burns in that movie, Oh God, I think it was, put his hand on the Bible. Does anybody remember what he said at the end of it? So help me, me.
So help me, me.
Because he was God. So help me, me. And so that's what we have today. So help me, me. So help me, me. I swear, also help me, me. George Burns. There he is. No, well, come on. You're not going to find. If you find this, no, you won't find it. It has to be a movie clip called Oh God. Oh God. The movie clip, Oh God. When George Burns says, so help me, me. Oh, I get Roger. Come on in. Keep looking for it.
Yeah, coach, something that needs to be said. You know, putting man-made things between God and men. I got to ask you, when you have to go to a Bible college to be accredited, have a degree, and then be ordained, is that a man-made thing between God and man? Because look at the Book of Acts when Peter and all them prayed over Stephen, they laid hands on him. That's all they did, you know?
That's right.
How much of the stuff that we have in the church is man-made, you know?
How much is? Huh? How much of it is? A good catch there. Good catch. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, here's an example. Over the years of people coming into me at the car lot, I've got a book with names, phone numbers, and amount of money owed. People that lied. Over $60,000. It's in a book. And then people still come in. Oh, I heard you're a Christian. You help people. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Back up. But our media and our politicians have lied, and everybody sees it over the years, so everybody lies. And on that list, four people in that list are good friends of mine that said they were Christian. Them four men, $14,000.
They haven't paid you.
Yep. Lied.
But they took an oath, though, right? They took an oath?
Well, they're good little Christians. One of them even gets to preach behind the pulpit once in a while. And we went to the Bible college here in town. Liars.
Huh? That, why? Well, Jeff, I didn't swear on the Bible, right? Hang on. I'm searching here, Johnny. We'll send you something. I'm going to show you George Burns in that wonderful clip. So help me, me. Hang on. I'm with you, Jeff. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. There it is. Play this. George Burns, in this movie, Oh God, He is God, and he's God as an old man, all right? Watch him when he gets on a witness. It goes back, start that again. This is where we are in America today. It was funny.
May I ask who you are, sir?
You better swear me in. You'll never believe it.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
So help me, me.
So help you.
There it is. There it is. So help me, me.
The court.
That's the oath of office today. So help me, me. Come on in, Adam.
Hey, Coach. I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for this, but, you know, God only cares about us being obedient to the Father. He doesn't care about us putting our hand on inanimate objects. The Bible in itself is not holy. It's the Word that's printed on the Bible that's holy. And if the word is
in your heart, brother, it's in your heart. Right.
If the word is alive in you, then it's holy. But if you're an atheist or you're a Satanist and you put your hand on that, it means nothing. If your house burns down to the ground and your Bible's in it, God's not going to punish you because the Bible burnt.
So play this again, will you, Johnny? Play this again. This is the American judicial system. If Donald Trump is an atheist, if Donald Trump is sworn to the Masons, then he might as well have sworn this oath. Go ahead.
May I ask who you are, sir?
You better swear me in. You'll never believe it.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
So help me, me.
Hands on the Bible! Hands on the Bible! Come on in, Dave.
If it pleases the court.
Yeah, good morning. As I'm listening to the oath, I find it really interesting. Whoever wrote it, actually, it ends with a disclaimer. Because as you just read, the word says, and I remember years ago, I had an excellent Bible teacher, and he went over the whole thing about you're not supposed to give an oath, you're not supposed to swear in the Bible. But if you look at the oath, there's a disclaimer at the very end. So you're saying, I just took an oath. I just swore something that God told me to do. So help me, God. Because God's the only one can help you because you just did two things you shouldn't have done. And so I thought that's interesting. So help me, God. I just swore on the Bible. I just took an oath. You told me not to do it. So help me.
Please help me, huh? Oh man. Yeah. Oh, if it pleases the court, you know, I can lie if it pleases the court. And we know this. Bill Dunphy's going to come on here. He's going to tell all of you how his rights were violated by not being able to present a defense. They violated his right to free access, a free expression of his faith. They didn't let him get in the script in there and make a defense that I did that because God told me to. The First Amendment, he told me to. I have the right to go in there and lift up the name of Lord. I have a right to be able to do it. Folks, they destroyed his rights. They ignored his rights. And I'll bet you this, they all put their hand on the Bible. So help me God.
Amen.
Huh? Oh, yeah. But see, who do we blame? Who do we blame? We have pastors telling people the truth? Does a pastor take an oath? Can a pastor say, I made that up? You know, you've been believing all the stuff I've been telling you? Oh, no, I made that up. I heard that from some guy 10 years ago. He gave a sermon. I thought that sounded good. I used that. You what? You think I'm telling you the truth all the time? Come on. So help me, God. Come on in, Neil.
Today's whole discussion could be summed up in the saying that a man's name is only as good as his word. And you can take that generational too. You can take it that your grandfather had a good name, your father had a good name, you have a good name. You don't just get the name. You get it by the actions and the way you live your life.
You know, I said, I got to be careful. My son's opening up a legal office. And we went round and round on it. I said, call Dobbenmeyer Law. I said, dude, listen, that name is solid in this community. Why is it solid in this community? Because we've built a solid name in this community. Don't be ashamed of the heritage. But see, folks, how many times do we not want to do that, right? How many times do we not want to do it? Your name, man. You know, one guy, I can't remember who it was, said about me one time. Said, one thing you always knew about the coach, he told you something, it was the truth. Whether you liked it or not, he told you the truth. And I said, thank you, Lord. Randy, come on in.
Coach, I don't know. Maybe I'm switching gears here. Just throw this out if I'm getting too far out. But
go ahead.
Coach, DC, what's going to come out of this, and we may talk about this when Bill Dunphy's on more, but what's going to come out of this, Coach, is the America is going to see that the District of Columbia is not part of our country. And this,
right.
They're going to understand then that the judicial system there is like another country. You don't have the Constitution there. You don't have anything there. And that's the truth of the whole thing. Maybe that's what God's going to bring out.
Well, Randy, hang on, man. The government loses its validity when it takes itself out from under the covering of God. Go ahead.
Amen, Coach. That's right. And that's another thing that will be seen. But this is all an unveiling, an exposition of what has been. And if this insurrection didn't happen and we got played, we know that. But God's flipping this thing, Coach. He is flipping it. He's going to show our country what's really happening, what's really true, and that we were a corporation, that D.C. was another country. And you can talk to people about this, and they're looking at you like a deer in the headlight. They have no idea. But when this all starts coming out publicly and on the media, everyone's going to know. That's the point of the whole thing.
Amen. I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. And then we reelected him. And then we almost reelected his wife, who sold out people in Benghazi. Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, but she took an oath. She put her hand on the Bible and took an oath. Joe Allen, go.
What happened to the time frame where you shook another man's hand and gave your bond by a handshake?
Well, it's gone. It's gone. Why? Because so help me God. Help me me. So help me me. I'll say whatever I want to say. Get away with it. Jeff Klein, come on. Who's buzzing me here? Let me go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, Pastor Bill's always said that. He's a John Wayne dude. And he said, your word is your word. It's all you have. And he told me last summer when he was sitting in my office a few times talking to me, he said, I told them, they asked me if I thought I made a mistake, any mistakes. He said, yep. He said, the biggest mistake I ever made was stepping into D.C. He said, I realize now I was leaving the United States of America. Amen.
Huh? That's going to come out here at some point, folks. Huh? That's going to come out at some point. That Washington, D.C. is not part of the United States of America. That's going to come out. Yep, it sure is. Doors open. Somebody walk on in. Somebody walk on in. Come on in, Craig.
Well, I don't know what the thing is. I think it's symbolic of something. So I'm looking at this whole thing, just doing some research. And guess where Lincoln's Bible came from?
Where what, Craig? I didn't hear that.
Where Lincoln's Bible came from.
Where?
Well, when you go back and you do it, when Lincoln was coming in to get sworn in, his Bible didn't make it there in time. So the clerk of the Supreme Court, I forget his name, I was looking it up, he grabbed a Bible there that was in the Supreme Court and used it in the swearing-in ceremony. It wasn't Lincoln's personal Bible. It just happened to be the one. And I was thinking, wow, is this a Masonic Bible? Because you got to remember, George Washington was sworn in with a Masonic Bible. because they didn't have one. So they had to grab one in Manhattan. I think it's Lodge 4.
That's right.
The first president put his hand over a Masonic King James Bible. Go with that one.
Amen.
This one is a Oxford University Bible that was there. So it means it was printed in England. So then you go back into this whole British law. Did we ever win the war with England? Are we under British law still? So there's something significant about this, and we don't know what it is yet.
Well, here's what's significant about it, in my opinion. Swearing an oath is meaningless if you intend to violate it.
Well, I understand that. I'm getting that part, but I'm just saying the history of this, and sometimes hiccups do tend to have a little more spiritual meaning or meaning. But I'm just putting that out there. People can run with it however they want.
I mean, it's all good. But hey, folks, listen. I've been on this is show number. What is it today? 2,329. That's a lot, isn't it? 2,329. And I don't know if you know, right in front of me here on my desk is my Bible. But I never once put my hand on it and sworn I was telling you all the truth. Because why? Because if my word's no good, my name's no good. I can swear to anything. I can swear on my mother's grave, as he used to say. It's not what your hand's on. It's what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm saved. Why? Because I've received forgiveness in my heart. Not just in my head, not just a deal Jesus and I made, shook hands on it, crossed my fingers behind my back. So he said, don't swear an oath. You shouldn't have to swear an oath. That's your yay be yay, your nay be nay. Period. And I tried to find it. I couldn't find it right now. Somebody can dig it up for me real quickly, maybe. How many senators, this is what the Brunson brothers are all about. How many senators and congressmen have not taken an oath to defend the Constitution? Hundreds of them. Then he says it's 385. Haven't taken an oath. They have no oath of office. They haven't taken one. Moderator, come on in quickly.
Okay, so the issue about the hand on the Bible, are they afraid that this is will be a technicality and that it is he's not legal and binding if he doesn't have his hand on there? I don't see that it being about their word or whatever.
God, the oath is, so help me God. That's the oath.
Yeah.
Not that his hand's on the Bible.
That's right. So by confusing it, having their hand on it, are they suggesting that it's not binding? Since he doesn't have his hand on there, then he's not in there. Or that he has, evil intentions.
Yep, and I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. Gino, quickly.
Yeah, I was just going to say, all our laws came from the Bible, called common law.
Yes, sir.
And that's why we have the Bible. That's where our laws came from. But now we don't go by that. We go by maritime law.
There is no law apart from Christ. He is the lawgiver, folks. Lawgiver. Lorianne.
This is driving me nuts as I've been listening. Like, how many people open up their Bible, they put their hands on their Bible to read it, and then they go out and just say, oh, yeah, legalism, here we go. I opened my Bible, I read it, so now I'm okay. Yep. There's a difference between being a Christian and a disciple. And this is exact. Are Muslims running around going, oh, wait, I have to put my hand on the Quran to keep an oath? No, your word, your yes is yes, and your no is no. And so this is why Christians are just, they're so judgmental. So, okay, so now I'm going to just go blow this up. Yeah, I want to be a part of your Jesus because he's just so sweet. He's so nice. He's so loving. He's going to show up when I don't need him. And this is making me crazy.
Hey, so
it's like little kids in a sandbox throwing sand at one another and going, you're mean, you're a meanie. No, you're a meanie. No, you're a meanie.
Shut up and
live it out.
Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. And when their yay becomes a nay, throw them out. That's what we got to do. See you tomorrow.